This is Phil Farron. And I am, and that's my radio. And I am driving home. It is episode 53. 53, which would make last week 52. And in case you're wondering, if you happen to listen to these, why the episode last week was named 52B. We had a small technical difficulty. There was sadness. Great sadness. Oh, man. You know, it built it up and built it up. Built it up. I'd asked my son-in-law, who's a youth pastor, to come and drive home with me. We picked a topic, and specifically the topic last week was the inclination to imitate. And partially picked that topic because he is a youth minister and he deals with this with his youth. And so I thought it was going so good. it was going good. You know, I decided, okay, I'm going to start this before he even gets into the car because I know he's going to be expecting me to get him in the car and then prep him, but we don't do any prep work. We just talk, you know? Well, we do some prep work, but, you know, we don't do this, okay, you're going to come in and do this, and then I'm going to do this. We just go, and I just wanted to go, so I was sure I had hit the record button and started the thing up, and he got in the car, and I was talking. He said, oh, we're going. I said, we're going, man, we're going. And we gabbed all the way home, had a great time, and I pulled into the garage and did my sign off, and then of course I needed to take him home. So he said, well, I didn't get to say much. He said, which is fine. He said, that's fine. He said, but I had some things I wanted to contribute to. I said, okay, that's great. He said, since you're going to be driving me home, why don't we do a driving home to Alan's house? I said, that's perfect. So I started it up and we did the second half of it, and that went really well, and I thought he had some great things to say. And then I got back home and looked on my recorder, and I only had one thing recorded. And I was like, oh, rats. Rats. So I powered it up, and in fact, it was the part B, part two. And Alan, he's a good guy. He said, look, he said, you want to redo it? I'll come right back in. We'll just do it. I said, no, we'll just go next week. It'll be fine. We'll just do 52A next week. Time travel is a wonderful thing. But then after we had discussed doing that, he looked at his calendar and realized that they have a big fundraiser for their youth group tomorrow, since all the young people are out of school for spring break this week. And so he said, you know, I'm going to have to be prepping. I said, that's fine. I said, I will do episode 53, and then we will do episode 52A. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. It is what it is. You know, it just is what it is. So next week, I am expecting to have Alan back in the car with me, and we'll actually do the topic, the inclination to imitate, because there's some pretty interesting little stories in there. About a chapter out of a book that I read several months ago called Nudge. And so it's pretty interesting. So we'll get to that next week. It is Thursday today. I am coming in on Fridays for a few hours because we have so many things that we're trying to get done currently at work. Things are very exciting. And things have just been puttering along, been going along well. It's really interesting because we did a big rollout. It would have been 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And it's been really quiet and smooth, you know? And sometimes when things are quiet and smooth, you're just like, well, is everything really working? Because you expect to at least have some problems. But so far, so good. So we'll just see. In news on other fronts, I am editing up Amanda and the Skleberry Tree. I hope to get very close to releasing that for a new proof copy this weekend, I hope. It depends on how things go on Friday. And then, of course, the next series of writing that I'm going to work on is called Realmers. And that is, I think there's going to be 24 books in that series. And that's going to be fun. I'm working on the map now because I really want to have the map done ahead of time to where I know what's going to happen in all 24 books. Because when you're writing, it really helps to know that. You know, there's always these television series where they say, oh, yeah, we know exactly where it's going. But then you're watching the series going, okay, I don't think that was planned. You can kind of tell they're taking left turns and trying to fix stuff in the mix. And so I at least want to have basic plot synopsises for all 24 books before I get started so that I kind of know how to lay out the plot development in each book and what the high points are of each book, what needs to be revealed in each book to make sure that it'll all dovetail together at the end. So that's all very exciting. At the same time, we are starting the ramp up now for the deployment of the new Knit Central. For those of you who don't know, from 1993 to 1998, I actually made my living writing, and I wrote books called Knit Picker's Guides, and in conjunction with that, I started a website called Knit Central. And that website has just amazed me because I got out of the business, let's see, in 1998 because there were some lawsuits in the industry. That's a long story. Didn't have anything to do with me. All the publishers fled. And so by, oh, easily 1999 or maybe 2000 at the latest, my involvement in the website had gone down considerably. But I have had some great moderators who have kept it going. There's a big, vibrant discussion board out there with lots and lots and lots of topics. And it's been amazing to me just to kind of watch the thing keep going without any input from me. And so in conjunction with all that, several months ago, I thought, you know, we should probably do something with this. And I got thinking around, came up with an idea, talked to my daughter and son-in-law about it. They thought it was a cool idea. They agreed to help. So we've been working behind the scenes to get together material and content for the revamped and revitalized Knit Central. And we actually have our target level of content at this point. And so tomorrow in the evening, we're going to start going through the content and organizing it and then start making plans for the future as to what the, you know, website, what kind of templates we're going to use on the new website. Hopefully here in, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, maybe mid-April-ish, we're going to go ahead and launch, and then we'll just see. And we're all dedicated to keeping it going for maybe a year or so to see if we can build up a fan following, and if we can build up a fan following with it, and we can sell some advertising, then it might just be a fun little side business to keep going in. So more to come on that. In final other news, I'm going to be home by the time I finish talking about the final news. I have a box in my car from Federal Express, and that box has a patent search in it for the Super Secret Project. So that's going on simultaneously as well. I have been a little busy over these last several weeks. And frankly, there were some times when it was starting to stress me out a little bit, but I just made a decision this past week that, you know what? I am in the adventure. I am in multiple adventures, and I am just going to enjoy the ride. And it really, it's cool. I'm going to have an opportunity with this Super Secret Project to actually work in a field I've never worked in before. And it certainly has the potential to lose me a lot of money, but I think it's going to be just fun to be in. So, you know, we'll see. This week, I'm a little bit betwixt and between because I have this inclination to imitate topic that I need to finish up next week, but there was a little incident that happened, I think it was on Saturday of last week or Sunday of last week, and as long as I was looking for something just kind of slot in, I thought, well, I should talk about that a little bit because I don't know if I've talked much about syncretism and the choices that we have in syncretism. And how we can wager to make a better choice without having all the knowledge that we need to have. I was watching a PBS. They were doing a fund drive. And typically when they do their fund drives, At some point or another, they have a talk by Wayne Dyer. I have mentioned Wayne Dyer before. The last time I saw a talk of his, it was a talk on Excuses Be Gone, which was an excellent talk. I thought it was very good and had some really good techniques in it for moving away from excuses and moving towards something that could create an environment of success. And so at the time, I said, look, I know some of you will hear Wayne Dyer and you'll think, well, he isn't this and he's not that and he doesn't have these check marks by his, you know, name, and so we're not going to listen to him. But I thought a lot of what he had to say was very, very good. This last time, he was doing a talk on the revelations that he's had from the Tao, the T-A-O. It's an ancient book. I should have looked it up and got the actual information on it, but this, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants tonight. The Tao has all these very wise sayings in it. It came out of China hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It seems like in the back of my head I've got somewhere in the 1300s, 1400s, maybe earlier than that. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I should have looked it up. And a lot of the things that he was talking about was very, very good stuff. I mean, he had a sort of list of things that he had pulled out, things like the following sayings. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. Okay, well, that's good. Accomplish much by trying less. All right, I can understand kind of what he's saying there, because if you get yourself all stirred up into a hissy fit, you really don't accomplish that much. So if you just relax and go with the flow and get your brain clear, you actually can accomplish more. See yourself in everyone. Okay, that's really good. See yourself in everyone. I think one of the things we really need to learn in life is that we're all pilgrims in this life, and we are all in the same battle between the flesh and the spirit. And if someone's being ugly or having a bad day or that kind of stuff, I think we just need to give them some grace and some mercy and say, yeah, I understand, you know, that sometimes things can seem overwhelming. And I think it's really important for us to be gracious to people. And I think part of seeing yourself in everyone is this understanding that we're all in this together and we all have the same kinds of struggles. He also pulled another couple of sayings out. Be soft, flexible, and allowing. Okay, that's good. Live without attachments. Be generous. I believe in being generous. I believe in not being so concerned about money and where is this coming from and that coming, you know, and being all consumed about, I got to get the latest gadget, latest toy, you know, all that stuff. This is very good. The last one, I really like the last one too. Practice radical humility. I think that's excellent. Don't be someone who always pushes yourself forward, or always has to have the last word, or always has to have the coolest stories, you know. Just practice radical humility. I think all those things are good, and they all lead to a quieting of life. And by quieting life, you can actually hear God whispering to you, because as I've said many times, I believe that God is whispering to every single person on the planet all day long. And the only reason they can't hear him is because there's too much noise in their system. Now then, having said all that, Wayne Dyer is very syncretistic in his approach to spirituality. I mean, he just vacuums in anything that's around him and anything that makes sense to him. And there are actually some people who would accuse me of being syncretistic, because I quote poems from mystic Islamists, you know. I relate experiences that Hindu yogis have had. I certainly have nothing against Wayne Dyer talking about the Tao. All those things are fine, because I think there's truth in all those things. But what I got a little bit amused at the end of Wayne Dyer's talk, is he began to talk about this singer that he had heard and how she sings with the whale song. You know, whale song. You know, you've heard whales sing. Okay. So, that she sings with that, and she has a beautiful voice, and it's just the most magnificent. I mean, he really, really built her up. And I'm listening. Okay. And the song she's going to sing, and he started talking about John Newton. And started talking about the fact that John Newton had what Wayne Dyer terms a quantum experience, something that fundamentally altered his life, and he could see the world in a different way. And I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty interesting, because John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader. And I think it was in the midst of a storm, when it looked like all was going to be lost, suddenly he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and confessed his sin, and he wrote shortly afterwards this song called Amazing Grace. A staunchly Christian song. I mean, it's really, when you read all the verses, it's very much right down the Christian belief system. And so I thought, well, this is kind of interesting, because Wayne Dyer's mixing the Tao and he's mixing Amazing Grace, and let's see how this is going to work out. And so he had this young lady that sang with the Whale Song come out and sing Amazing Grace. And I noticed a couple of things in her presentation. First of all, the presentation, it was beautiful. She did a fine job, has a lovely voice. It's certainly not the best rendition I've ever heard of Amazing Grace, because I personally thought she was really kind of focused on her technique and that she wasn't necessarily really connecting to the song, but that might have just been my own personal bias. I am getting my mail. So it was fine, but as she was singing along, there were a couple of, one spot in particular. When she hit a couple of words, I went, wait a minute. that's not actually the words there. And it was interesting, because it all came down to one word, because within the synchronistic viewpoint that we are all good, we are all on the path, there are many paths to God, you just need to find your own spirituality within you, yada, 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 yada. This particular word does not really fit with that. And so, in their effort to be syncretistic and to reach out to all these different belief systems and show that they don't have any problem with any of them, they had actually taken Amazing... I'm backing into my garage. Taken Amazing Grace and had changed one word in the first verse to make it fit more with their philosophy. And I suppose just attributed that word to the fact that John Newton wasn't quite as enlightened as they were, which, okay, that's fine. It's all right. It's fine. But specifically, the word that they changed is in the original, the verse is, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. They changed it to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. And when they did it, I just went, oh, yeah, well, I can't understand, because they don't necessarily want to call themselves wretches, because that would mean that there is some evil within me. And those who practice syncretism often don't believe there's evil within us. We're just all on the same path to God. And it was interesting, because she did sing 'Twas Grace That Taught My heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. She sang that verse. But she didn't sing, the Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And she certainly didn't sing, the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. They kind of left out the stuff that was specific to Christianity. But that's okay. It's all right. Because God's working. God's talking to them. But it did remind me several years ago of being, I think it was in a chat room or emailing back and forth in the early days of Net Central. And I remembered having a conversation with a woman who was into reincarnation, and I don't know exactly what, but she was kind of practicing this syncretism. She was just going to grab the good. There's many paths to God, all that kind of stuff. And And at that time, in talking with her, I said, here's how I go about it. And this is actually a derivation off of Pascal's wager. I don't know if you're familiar with Pascal's wager, but Pascal's wager basically comes down to, we can never prove God empirically, but what we can do is we can make a wager that believing in him does not cost us much, but it stands the potential to get us eternal gain, where not believing in him doesn't gain us much, but it has the potential to cause eternal loss. And so from that perspective, we make a wager that we will live as if we believe in God. And the thought that I expressed to the woman when I was chatting with her about this is similar to that. What I told her was, I said, I understand what you're saying when you say all paths lead to God. I said, but the belief system that you are espousing is inclusive, that it just puts its arms around all belief systems and say, as long as you're trying, as long as you're seeking God, everything's great. I said the Christian belief system is exclusive, which in my mind makes it more valuable. Now, let me explain that. If it was true, as I looked around, that there were other belief systems that I saw brought more satisfaction to people's lives, that helped them achieve more, that brought more discipline, that caused greater environments of successes in their lives, that would be one thing. But frankly, I have yet to see any belief system that when I evaluate it leads me to believe that that belief system would create a better environment of success for me than the Christian belief system. And all the people who practice syncretism will usually say, the ones I've ever talked to, will usually say, well, if you want to believe in the Christian God, that's fine because all roads lead to God. And so the formula that I process is similar to Pascal's wager in that I say, well, okay, so if all roads lead to God, then there's really nothing in the Christian belief system that would keep me from getting to God. I understand that there's people who don't really fully ascribe to the Christian belief system, and as such, they end up living Christianity half-heartedly and often become extremely miserable in that because they're halfway into it and they're not really embracing it. But I consider myself a person to be one who has fully embraced Christianity, and I have found it to be a wonderful experience that allows me to create not only an environment of success for myself, but an environment of success for those around me. And it's not just been my own testimony to that. My work experience has been such that every place I've ever worked as a consultant has tried to hire me, sometimes for significant amounts of money. And the reason they've tried to hire me is they've seen my work ethic and they've seen the reaction that I have on other people. Because everyone, I try to make sure that everyone around me gets stronger, that everyone gets better at what they're doing, that I work with them to help them succeed as well. And so I don't find anything in any other system out there that draws me because it would be better for me. So if I have the choice of embracing something that's inclusive, that says, well, yeah, yours will work too, but ours works, or embracing something that's exclusive, where Jesus said, look, I'm it. You know, I believe God is talking to everybody all day, drawing them. I believe he loves them. I believe he does no longer counts their sins against them. But I believe in the final analysis, it's Jesus. He's the guy. And he said he was the guy. So if every path that I consider can get me to God in an inclusive model, But only one of those paths can get me to God in an exclusive model, but they all have the same effect. I'm always going to go for the exclusive model because it's my wager. At the end of the day, when I die and I meet God and he says, well, you know, any of these paths would have gotten you there. You know, you chose Jesus. And so, okay, that's fine. Come on in. I'll go, yay, thank you. Happy to be here. But if I had chosen something else and then stood before God and he said, well, Jesus is it. You know, you kept refusing Jesus. Jesus is it. Sorry. Oh, that's bad. See, that's bad. So all things being equal, I'm not going to choose inclusivity. I'm going to choose exclusivity with the definite, ingrained, practiced viewpoint that God loves people. And whether or not they choose Jesus at this point in their life is not going to make any difference to me in terms of being their friend and trying to create an environment of success for them. Because, as the Tao says, I try to see myself in everyone. I try to be soft, flexible, and allowing. And I try to practice radical humility. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.